How are you this morning? Well, as you know, today is Mother's Day. The lesson today is not about Mother's Day as much as it is about a baby who had two mothers. And that's in the Scriptures. In Exodus 2, 1 to 10, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant, gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could not hide him anymore, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to it. The Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to go get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, for she felt very sorry for him. 'This is one of those Hebrew babies,' she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse this baby for you? Do you see this? They've been killing all these other babies.' That's God's providence at work. Does God's providence still work? Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse this baby?'" Now, how convenient is that going to be? We're going to get the mama to come back in here and be the nursemaid. "Yes, go," she answered. The girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby, nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to the Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Is there some way possible for a child to have two mothers? What particular baby born could get through that? But it was certainly so. It happened, and it's written in the Scriptures. By all appearances, both of the mothers were good mothers to this baby, and God was in the middle of sharing this baby with two mothers. Both of these mothers were good for this baby and had some of the same instincts for their care. This baby, Moses, was under the threat of death, and both of these mothers were doing their best to rescue him. Had it played out the way the Pharaoh would have done it, you would have never had a Moses. Can God do stuff that we have no idea of? Yes. This baby, Moses, was under the threat of death, and both of these mothers were doing their best to rescue him. At this time, we have the birth mother, who is called Jochebed. And Jochebed was a Hebrew slave who had to make a desperate decision. As it turned out, his sister watched and saw that he was rescued from the water, giving her some sense of relief. And then we have the second mother, who comes up and simply known as the Pharaoh's daughter. This girl finds this Hebrew baby who was supposed to be one of the many Hebrew babies killed. The law of the Pharaoh was kill all these Hebrew babies. Yes? And so God fixed it where he could go in to his own kid and make life for him. This girl finds the Hebrew baby who was supposed to be one of the Hebrew babies killed. Because of who she was and the gravity of all of that, she makes an equally difficult choice to drag the Hebrew baby out of the waters of the Nile and raise him in the house of their father. Now that's fortitude right there. For her, choosing to give life to this baby from the womb of a Hebrew captive had to be a difficult decision. After all, it was her own father who decreed that all Hebrew boys were to be killed in the first place, and it means that she put her own self at risk. So what does she do? She decides to get a nanny. I'm amazed how God can move things that would normally be disaster. Are you? So she seeks this nanny for the baby through God's providence, of course, and it ends up with Moses' own mother as the nanny. God's providential care is alive and it's working in these texts. And while we're speaking of it, we need to know and embrace that God's providential care is still alive and it is still active. Whether we're having a Mother's Day today or not, God is still active. With her response, this little baby Moses ends up with two very different mothers. One is by birth and the other is by adoption, but they have two different views of life for this baby. His Egyptian mother gave him everything his Hebrew mother could not, including life. He had the best education the nation of Egypt could offer. At the same time, it was Jochebed, the Hebrew real mother and nanny, who was able to instill in him the values of Jehovah God. This is Mother's Day for these kids. For Jochebed, it would have been frustrating watching her own son being raised in paganism, which had to worry her at some level, and for their children, that is a constant. It had to be difficult to watch him grow up with the values that are looser in a huge way than those that would have grown up as a true Israelite. You can hear his nanny mother singing the truths of God to this child in her Hebrew tongue. As a Hebrew, she would have been able to teach him not only the language, but the dialect of the Hebrew language. It was she who spoke the words of God in the little ears as he was rocked to sleep when it was time to go to sleep. It was she who would have rehearsed the stories of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the list goes on. Those precious moments in the rocking chair were preparing a baby to become a man of God who would lead his own people out of slavery, ultimately preparing the way for the exodus for us through Jesus Christ. We've studied about the exodus in the Old Testament. Do you know through Jesus Christ you get another one? You get to be set free. She would have sung songs to him of the wonders of God and the horrors of slavery. It was she who instilled in him the sense of justice and righteousness and allowed him to defend one of the Hebrew slaves, even to the point of taking Egyptian life. Jochebed would have whispered the story of God's creation and the magnificent creative work of his hand. She may have even told him of the glory of mankind and we were created to rule over the works of his hand. Do you know God put that in your hand? Rule over the world. Moses, on the other hand, received his brute and brawn from the Egyptian side of life. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead toward his reward. do we see, those of you who read the Old Testament, do you remember how many times you were looking ahead of something greater? Same is going on here. He regarded the disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. When he approached Pharaoh with God's demand to let my people go, he was talking to his Egyptian family. Remember these words. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. And also, especially for mothers, you can know for sure, and you can know every day, every hour, every month, every year, that for mothers particularly, that little whispering tune, all of you that's had children, you know this thing. You're whispering, and you're singing, and you're talking about something great. All of the whispering that the baby did didn't show up, though, until he had grown up. And when he grew up, he had had all of those songs, all of those words, all of that care. I'd like to think that the hope like that is the hope of every parent, especially for mothers. Every parent, every grandparent, uncle, aunt, needs to hear and understand what brought about this change in Moses. Somewhere along the line, I never enjoyed getting spanked. Matter of fact, I never got spanked in my life. I got whipped. I got a whipping. Anybody got a whipping in your life? I still got the mark. Do you know that every one of these parents, grandparents, uncle, aunts, all those people that interfaced with you growing up had a big part in your life, whether you know it or not? When I would go to visit my cousins up in Arkansas, I don't know what happened with my dad and my mom, but they must have given them open end on this thing, and you tear him up if he don't mind. And I'm going to tell you, when they tore you up, you had been torn up. I never got a spanking in my life. It was way more than that. From a potential ruler of Egypt, this is what he could have been. For a potential ruler of Egypt, to the vessel of Egypt's destruction was brought about by the seeds of truth implanted in the heart of this baby by the mother and the grandmother. I don't dismiss the old ladies. If you're 15 years old and you're female, you're going to be an old lady one day. And guys, you're going to be an old man one day. Look around. We didn't paint ourselves to look like this. It just works on its own. And it works pretty quick. This little phrase everybody knows. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Remember the song? You never forget it. And that was instilled something like that into this baby named Moses. Every parent, uncle, aunt, kinfolks needs to know that God is in charge of all the provision. We're just here to pick up stuff. These stories of God's creation and His unfailing love are seeds planted in the garden and the heart, and they will grow. I have I don't have it. I don't plant stuff unless she tells me to. But there's a little old box right there just as you go out the back door. And every time I look in there, there's little seeds in that thing. And I'm wondering why they didn't get planted. But if it's not something you can eat, who wants it anyway? But I'm going to tell you what. When you put those little seeds in a kid and water them and let them grow, you know what will happen? They will grow with that. And so you want to embed as well seeds of righteousness, holiness, those kind of things. Through this nanny mother, she didn't have the words necessarily, but she certainly planted the seeds for Moses to understand. And Ephesians 2:10 will tell us, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You don't slip up on God. She gave him the knowledge of God by sharing her own faith in God, telling him what she believed. She told him what God had done in her life and in his. She told him of the promises of God. She told him about the covenant with Abraham and the promises of God for all the future generations. She told him what God wanted for their people. She let him see something that was clear. And because God was real to her, she became real for him as well. She knew firsthand as a slave in Egypt that life was tough. She had learned to deal with difficulty for a lifetime, and she passed that on to Moses just like others had done for 430 years. It's through the love of a mother that a child gets that first taste of God's love. I don't know what it is about us guys, but a woman can put a little baby in their lap, and if it gets wet, she won't say a thing. Us guys, we think we just died. It's through mother's love that he gets his first taste of God's love. Moses wasn't any exception. So, especially to moms, when you struggle and struggle, thinking there's no home, remember Moses. Remember how God used him to deliver a nation from slavery to freedom. Remember that the whole story was in ancient history for a reason that was greater than just having something said, but to really make it where the world can be changed. Jochebed didn't see the future because she didn't know, but she could see God. All through her faith that she instilled in Moses, he too was able to see the invisible. Do you know that God lets you see the invisible? How can a person going down the road, somebody smash into them with a car, and they should have been graveyard dead right there? And they walk out of that beat up, twisted up piece of car. Can God be in the middle of that? Hebrews 11:27, "By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible." You ever seen an angel? You wouldn't know. But there are angels. I mean, I married one of them. But there's angels here. You're not playing with little stuff. Only God knows what your child, your grandchild, your great-grandchild will become. That's God's business. Only know that the future, he or she will make a difference of the nations on the earth. The conclusion of the raising children is not in your hands, and it's not in mine. It's in God's hands. And when God wants to twist it however he wants to twist it, he can push you right out of the picture if he chooses. We only have the seed of faith to plant. You have stories, powerful stories to plant. Today is a special day, and it's a gentle call to mission and to purpose so that we can plant the seeds and be patient. What happens through them may never be seen by your eyes in this lifetime. If you get a small child and you're up in age, you may not ever see it. But it's not over because you don't ever see it, because who still holds it? God Almighty. What happens to us? What do you do for the child and think, well, that's nothing? Whatever you do for a child is something big, and it will always remain big. Will they forget it off and on? But will it come back if God put it there? Yes. You and I can know with all assurance that God has everything recorded. He's not like us. He don't have to have a playback switch. He already knows. Proverbs 22:1-6 says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver and gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of all. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. So what do we do here? We need not to fail to remember Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I appreciate y'all helping me. Appreciate you nudging me along, but I'm not the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. If he were to say now, he would say, I am a son of Jesus Christ. A mother or a grandmother, you have a mission, just like with Moses, and it'll become a blessing to every generation that follows. What you think was behind the scenes with Peter and John when all of this was going on? And who was kneeling and praying and crying at the foot of the cross when her son was dying? That'd have been Jesus. But you know what Jesus got through that? A whole new Exodus. Set my people free. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us. But I will tell you that those of you particularly that are mothers, you're a valuable, powerful asset, because you change the world one little rock in that chair at a time, one little hum, one little song, one little word, and those children grow up and they have values that are powerful. And the church said, amen. Thank you. All of you mothers, for what you do, and don't you ever give up. Because you're older, that makes you more seasoned, and you can go to bed when you want to this time. But I'll tell you what, God's on your side. Thank you for all you do in your life.